The reading this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, and then 27 to 31. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your coat." So Moses put his hand inside his coat, and he took it out, and it was leprous like snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it onto the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave this man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "O Lord, please send someone else to do it." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it." The Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the desert to meet Moses." So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say, and also about all the miraculous signs he had commanded him to perform. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. May God bless this reading of his holy word.
Let us pray. Living God, you are the God of wind and flame. You are the God who knows our entire beings, who knows the number of hairs upon our head, who knows the number of each of our days here on earth. We praise you and we love you for your constant presence with us in every part of life. We thank you for the gift of Scripture, which points us again and again to your great love, fully revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So as we pause now to reflect upon your written word together, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are the true strength and the redemption and the hope of all who place trust in you. Amen. So, of course, we're continuing this week with our summer series on the book of Exodus. As we've heard throughout the weeks so far, as we've delved into this book together, Exodus is the Bible's fundamental story of deliverance and salvation. These are two themes, deliverance and salvation, that run throughout the entire thread of Scripture. And Exodus is the real substantive start of this pattern. We know that this book is largely the story of the people of Israel journeying from Egypt to the promised land, the land filled with milk and with honey. And what a journey it was. Throughout this book of Exodus and the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses are sometimes called the Pentateuch, which is the first five books, another trivia word for you, Pentateuch. This book is full of wanderings, backtracks, detours, disobedience, waiting, confusion. But even more importantly, through all these things, through all of the challenges and setbacks, many self-inflicted, that the Hebrew people encountered, God was with his people at work in their lives, using the experience of the journey to form them into his people, into people of covenant relationship with God. And we've said before, and it bears repeating, that this book of Exodus has a lot to say to the church today. It has a lot to say through each generation of believers, a lot to teach us about our own Christian journeys. For this book, I think, is a story, a reminder of the importance of following God even when we do not know the way forward. It's a story of trusting God even when we cannot see the full plan. This was true for Moses, it was true for the Israelites, and it's true for us. In our lives, in our walk of faith, none of us ever see the full picture. And so, to some extent, we're always living and walking by faith. And so this week, we're looking at the immediate aftermath of Moses' dramatic encounter with God in the burning bush. Moses has just seen this miraculous sight. He's just received a stupendous, life-changing commission from God to go back to Egypt, to be God's emissary to Pharaoh, and to tell him, "Let my people go." It's quite a commission, isn't it? And so Moses, hearing this, without questioning, he went right back to Egypt, didn't he? No, he did not. After seeing this miraculous theophany, this revealing of God in the burning bush, after having his life turned upside down, Moses decided to be a typical human being and look for reasons why all of this wasn't a very good idea. Has anyone ever had this kind of experience before? You're asked to do something well outside your comfort zone. You start to say, "But here's why it won't work out. Please save me from this." Moses answered God, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice," he said, "for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you." In response to this concern, perhaps because he knew the hard-heartedness of his own people, in an act of great patience, the Lord gave Moses three signs, dramatic signs, powerful signs: a staff that turned into a snake, a hand that became afflicted with leprosy when he put it inside of his cloak, and then healed when he took it back out again, the ability to turn some water into blood when poured on the dry ground. It's as if God knew the Israelites would not believe mere words. And after so many hundreds of years of slavery, multiple generations enslaved in Egypt, perhaps they needed more substantive proof that their deliverance was at hand. And I don't know about you, but if somebody came to me with a staff that turned into a snake, a hand that went back and forth between leprosy and clean and pouring water into blood on the ground, I'd give them a fair hearing. But even after all these signs, Moses wasn't through looking for reasons why, for him, God's plan was still a very bad idea. In verses 10 through 13 that Ishmael just read for us, Moses, after seeing these tremendous signs, feeling himself perhaps backed into a corner, he said, "Oh, Lord, I'm not eloquent, either in the past or since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue." That's quite eloquent right there, I suppose, but never mind that. But the Lord said to Moses, "Who made your mouth? Who makes somebody mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what to speak. I have your back, Moses, in every way," the Lord says. But even after all of these things, after seeing the burning bush, after getting these powerful signs, after being given this assurance that I am going to be with you in every way, did Moses say, "Okay, oh Lord, please send somebody else"? Now, one level, his hesitancy and his resistance is very understandable. He was given the very daunting task of confronting those who held direct power over the well-being of his people. It's not an overstatement to say that if Moses failed, his people would be the ones to pay the price. There are not many people who would willfully and gladly put themselves into such a high-pressure position. This is why I always worry about people who willingly put themselves forward for positions like prime minister or president of the United States. I mean, come on. That's you have to be a certain mentality type to look for that kind of job. We have to face these impossible decisions day in and day out, and not many people are built for it. So, as we said, Moses probably felt like if he messed this up, his people would be the ones to pay the price. But along with concern for his people, there's also the fact that Moses simply didn't want to obey. He did not want to make a leap of faith and trust in God's promises. Maybe after all those years in exile, in the wilderness, with a wife and children, perhaps Moses was settled down. Perhaps he didn't want a life change at that point. Perhaps he genuinely felt that someone else, anyone else, would be better suited to this task. And in a roundabout way, personally, I find this part of the passage comforting. It reminds us that Moses was not a superhuman with a superabundance of faith. Instead, guess what? Moses was just like us, flesh and blood full of doubts and fear and excuses. Even after experiencing so many signs of God's faithfulness, Moses still wavered. When in fact, up to this point, his whole life, whether he admitted it or not, whether he saw it or not, his whole life was one long testimony to God's faithfulness. As a baby, when he was utterly helpless, he was spared from Pharaoh's cruel edict that all male Hebrew children should be killed. He was rescued from the water in that basket by a member of Pharaoh's own family and raised in great comfort and safety. When he was found out for killing the Egyptian taskmaster, God saved his life by enabling him to flee into the wilderness. And in that state of wilderness, God still provided Moses with a spouse, with children, and a new identity, a new purpose. So I'm trying to say in all this that the entire trajectory of Moses' life, the ups and the downs, they were all a profound testimony to the faithfulness of God. Over and over again, God had given Moses every reason to trust him. God was with him in the highs, in the lows, in every part in between. The same is true for each of our lives as well. Friends, God has given us every reason to trust him. Like Moses, each of our lives is also a living testament to the faithfulness and love of God. Now, let me be clear. In saying that God has given us every reason to trust him, I am not trying to deny or dismiss the hardship and sufferings we have experienced in our lives. I'm not trying to dismiss them. I look around at the people here today, at the faces, the well-kent faces. And in my time in Kemnay, I've had the great privilege of learning so many parts of your stories. I know many of the scars that you bear, and you know many of mine, because a pastoral relationship is always a two-way street. In one form or another, every single one of us has been through the crucible of suffering. In one form or another, we have all had or are having our faith tested. In one form or another, we've all had to find our way through darkness and difficulty, believing and trusting that God is with us and is actively helping us through every season of our lives. As was the case with Moses' life, I think that each of us, if we really take time to pray and reflect on it, we can point to many times, perhaps, when we have had a real experience of God's faithfulness in our lives. If we really stop to think about it. And on a fundamental level, everybody take a deep breath. Oh, there's a sign of God's faithfulness right there. Another breath, another moment, another day, a chance to be together. For me, my entire experience in Kemnay has been one long experience of the Lord's faithfulness. Before we came here, Heather and I really had no idea what this would be like. In so many ways, think back to the decision to come here, we had to take a real leap of faith in coming to Scotland. And I have to admit, it wasn't a decision that we made serenely with complete peace and tranquility. It was a real struggle to discern the Lord's will. Are we really sure this is what we were supposed to be doing? We all have challenges and doubts and some struggles in the life of faith. We're only human as well. But even more than this, since coming here, Heather and I have had a real experience of God's faithfulness, of the Lord's sustaining presence in our lives. And this place, our church family, has played no small part in reminding us of God's faithfulness. And each of us, if we were to come forward to the lectern, don't worry, we're not going to do it. Each of us, I think, if we took time to pray and think about it, could relay similar experiences of how God has been faithful to us in good times and in hard times as well. Back to our text. After going back and forth with God, running out of reasons not to obey, and after the Lord offered to have his brother Aaron help him in his mission to Pharaoh, we read the following, that Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Please let me go back to my brothers in Egypt to see if they are still alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt, for all those who are seeking your life are dead." So Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the staff of God in his hand. Now I have to admit to you, when I was reading this text for the sermon earlier in the week, I noticed something new in the text, something my eyes had always glossed over. We talked before about the importance of reading scripture slowly, and there's always, always, for all of us, new things to learn. And what jumped out at me this time was a part of the text that said, so Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. He took his wife and his sons on a donkey back to Egypt. So when he finally decided to obey God's command to confront Pharaoh to demand the liberation of his people, Moses didn't take day-long or week-long trips to Egypt. He didn't commute back and forth to the land of Midian and Egypt. Instead, Moses took a great leap of faith, and he went all in. In this decision to obey, Moses decided to trust God with his entire life, with the life of his wife, with the lives of his children. In other words, do we think Moses put everything on the line in obeying? Yes or no? He did. Friends, like Moses, God is calling each of us to also make a leap of faith. We could say that all of human life is one big leap of faith, or maybe lots of smaller leaps if that feels a little less overwhelming. The truth of the matter is that if we live a life of faith, we are not always going to be comfortable. We cannot have full security as defined by the world and also make a leap of faith. In the New Testament, the word we translate as faith has the more concrete meaning of trust. Who here has ever taken a trust walk before? Anybody? These are all the rage sometimes in America. Or has anyone ever done a trust fall where you're sitting around people and you close your eyes and you fall back and you trust they're going to catch you? I hope we've all been caught. But is it always a little scary to trust someone or something else on some level? Because trusting someone or something else means letting go of control to some extent. So if God calls us to make a leap of faith, it means surrendering control. It means echoing those great words of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but your will be done. So apart from a leap or leaps of faith, we cannot and we will not become the people God wants us to be. In one form or another, in ways dramatic, in ways small, each of us has faced or is facing or will face times when we are forced to ask, do I really trust God? Am I willing to make a leap of faith and follow where he's calling? And Scripture tells us that God is faithful. God deserves our trust. As we know, Kemeny Kirk is leaning into a new season of shared ministry, deeper partnership with our neighboring sister churches of Cluny, Money Musk, Blairdaff Chapel of Geary, Ectamed Mar, and Kintore. And I think it's fair to say this whole endeavor, this whole initiative of working as a true team for every church involved, for every person involved, this whole effort is very much a leap of faith. All of these churches are trying something new, something bold, so we can better share the good news of Jesus with our communities. But as a team, as a united community of churches, we are saying that we cannot achieve our goals on our own, that we need each other. We need God's help. We need God's guidance. We need to be willing to make that leap of faith to go and to do where and what the Lord is calling us to go and to do. The same is true for our individual lives. We cannot claim a life of faith and then also refuse to go and do what the Lord is calling us. There are times in each of our lives when a leap of faith is an essential aspect of our Christian lives. And eventually, Moses could see, I imagine he did, he could see God's faithfulness in his own life. And we are told eventually he did choose to trust God by obeying, by taking his family back to Egypt, by making this leap of faith to do what the Lord is calling him to do. So as we go into another week, may the Lord help us to see and remember his faithfulness in our lives, so that like Moses and like so many other women and men of faith throughout the generations, we too, in our own lives, in our own spheres of influence, will be willing to make a leap of faith, to take a chance, to follow where God is calling, so that we will become living witnesses to the joyous redemption that God has won for us in Jesus Christ. That is what life is really all about. So let's make a leap of faith in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.